Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Awesome. Thanks. You can take a seat. I got the big Bible today. I got this one when I turned 21. There you go. My mum and dad gave it to me. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, the old study Bible that you get, and it's got all this extra stuff, but then they're just really impractical to carry around, so you don't actually end up using it very much. But that's all good. It's just the one I wanted today. It had the translation that just was the one that I got, you know, the one that just connected with me in that space. What's our title? I gave a couple of options. What did our title end up being? There we go. Live Free from Worry. That was the one. I just wasn't sure what ended up going up. Live Free from Worry. You know, when you look at that, honestly, what goes through your head? Like, just be honest with yourself. Is it like, yeah, right? Something along those lines? Yeah, it is, because, you know, worry does seem to be so much a part of our world. It's just, it's what happens. We worry. We just do. We worry about all sorts of things. We worry about what we're going to get dressed in the morning with because the washing's in the wrong room. And, you know, like we worry about our study. We worry about whether we're going to get an assignment in. We worry about something at work. We worry about our finances, our family. Like there's so many things that are a part of our world that we do worry about. You know, it happens. But God's intention was for us actually not to worry. Like he designed us not to worry. He didn't design us to be kind of having our heads, you know, consumed by all these things in our world. He designed us to be free from all of that. And I find that, you know, when I think of God's intention and then our reality, you kind of go, oh, gee, they're so separate. They're so far apart now that we wonder, is it ever possible to bring them back together? And, you know, when we delve into our first century friends, we look in there and we see that, you know what, it mustn't have been much different for them either. They were worrying too. They actually probably had more legitimate worries sometimes, you know, whether they were actually going to be able to get a meal and, you know, what was happening in their world. But Jesus came to them one day and he actually told them, he said, not to worry. And I want to read it to you because it's, and again, I actually told the sound desk the wrong verses. So there's some missing, but that's all right. Hopefully you bought your Bibles as well. So I'm going to read from Matthew 6, chapter 25. Because this is what Jesus told his friends, his disciples, the people around him. When he looked at them and he just saw them consumed by so many things. He said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And when you read that, do you just think that's ridiculous? Like, is that fantastical? Oh, don't worry, you know, don't worry about what to wear. Jesus looks after the, you know, the lilies of the field. God looks after them. Like, it's very poetical, isn't it? It's beautiful. But it's really impractical. And so we read that and we just go, what's going on? But the point of that whole passage there is just in that whole line that said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Like, Jesus is saying that, you know, don't worry about those things, but seek first his kingdom. Now, I was reading these passages through the week and I really actually was quite stuck. There's incredible stuff in here, but I was thinking, but what does that actually mean for us? Like, what does that mean for my life today? Like, they're wonderful words and they're really encouraging to read, but how do they impact me and how do they do something for me actually? Because it's all very well to just tell me to stop worrying and seek first his kingdom, but what does that mean? And one night I had all these things going around in my head. I was, that phrase, seek first his kingdom, seeks first his kingdom, and it was going round and round in my head. And, you know, that's a verse that is personally important to Jeff and I. It's something that we've, you know, founded our family on, and it's the way we do our life. And so it's not an unknown verse to me, but yet it was almost like it was pounding around my head, seek first his kingdom. And then also just these images of the tree, the mustard tree, that, you know, growing up and big, and it was not a good night's sleep. And, you know, this is all going around in my head. And then suddenly in the middle of all that, God slipped in this other verse, completely random, not attached to anything I'd been reading, back in Proverbs. And it just started going around and around and around. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Round and around. And I had to get out of bed because I thought, I'm going to forget this. So I'll write it down and I'll work out what it means in the morning. So when I looked it up, it's from Proverbs 3, verse 6. I'll just quickly read from verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I felt like that, you know, that was a promise there. That in that space, that somehow this seek first the kingdom, in all your ways acknowledge him, and this sense of this overarching tree, that this strength and protection, that they're all mixed up together. And so I just kept on asking God, what are you saying? What is it, Jesus, that you want to teach us? When you say not to worry, when you're telling us not to worry and to seek first your kingdom, what is it that you're drawing us into? What is it you're wanting to release us into? And I really believe that Jesus is saying that if we acknowledge him, that he will look after us. If we use our energy and direct it towards God instead of our worry, that something will shift in the way we do life. So what does it mean to acknowledge him? Okay? I mean, we've been doing that all morning already, actually. We've been praising, we've been singing, we've been speaking out, declaring things that are true about him and real and promises that he's given. And so to acknowledge God in our situation is simply starts with thinking about him. Like in that situation, just start and think about him. Like that's really easy. That's really basic. Remember who he is and what he's promised. Shift the thought from the situation to the thought about God and talk to him. Like actually articulate those things. So I was thinking, well, okay, God, what does that actually look like? If I'm a student I hated doing creative writing. It was not very good when I wasn't good at that side of things. So in English, that was probably my big pressure point. I've got to do a creative writing piece and I've got nothing. So if I'm a student and I've got this assignment coming up and I have to do a creative writing piece, what do I do? Thank you, God, that you are a God of the creative. Thank you that you have those ultimate creative ideas flow through me, flow through my pen, open up my mind. And God, be honored in what I write. Now, it doesn't have to be a Christian thing I'm writing, but that God would be honored through my writing, that it would be writing that is beautiful and creative and, you know, just lifts people to a different space. Or maybe it would be that my finances are just weighing me down. We had a crazy month last month where, I don't know, things went a bit wacko. And Jamie came up to me and said, I need some new shoes. I said, you've got to wait till next month. We've got everything out of whack. We just don't have any money there. And we got down to about $60, I think, that we could access. And, you know, those things can be frustrating because you just go, okay, so we've just mixed up some things and shifted some things around the wrong way, but now I can't get something that I need to, and this is going to weigh me down. So what do I do? Thank you, God, that you care about my needs and my situation. And actually help me. Help me to be effective in my providing. Help me to find ways that I can, you know, do this life. Help me to pick up another shift at work or, you know, whatever it is that creatively helps us to manage our world, to build our finances, that God would work into that. It may be our health. You know, and we've spent time trying to look after ourselves or asking for healing and believing for stuff, but it eats away at us because there's something that we can't shift. So we need to keep praying and keep pushing in and making those thoughts shift from what we can't do to what God can do. Thank you, God, that you are a God of healing. Acknowledge who he actually is. I may not see it right now. I might not be feeling it right now, but that is who he is. Thank you that that is who you are, God. Show me steps I can do to make that healing possible. You know, it may be that we just keep pressing in and believing in faith for what God will do. But it may be that there's something that we have to do practically to step in and work with God in our healing. But I do really believe that as we shift from that worry to actually bringing God into our situation, then he shows us where to go. verse in, he will make our paths straight. He will show us what that path is. When we acknowledge God, we're simply just bringing him into our situation because he really does care, and we believe that he cares. It's not just words on a page that Jesus is writing, but they're truths that he's trying to unpack for us. And, you know, when I look at that initially, like I get a bit overwhelmed by that whole sense that, you know, Jesus looks after the birds and he'll therefore look after me. And I think, food's not going to drop out of the sky for me. I know that's not going to happen. Like, I'm not suddenly going to just have clothes on me if I don't go shopping. Like, it's just not going to happen that way. So what is he talking about? God is a God of, he's a God of beauty, and he's a God of creativity. And I think that's what Jesus is bringing out here. He's saying, you have a God who is the ultimate creator. You have a God who creates the most amazing beauty. Like, nothing that we can do in ourselves, nothing that we can concern ourselves with can come close to what God can do. Like, it just doesn't cut it. What God can do in our world is so much more and so much more amazing. He doesn't just wave that magic wand and make it all our problems go away. He doesn't just, you know, suddenly put finances in the bank, although I have heard of that happening occasionally. What he does is he infuses us with his creativity, with his beautiful solutions, when we connect and align ourselves to him. Like, when we have worry, it just completely blocks us up. It completely shuts down anything creative and things that are going on. But when we step into that space of acknowledging God, it releases something in our mind, it releases something in our heart, it releases something in our hands. And we can make things that are beautiful and incredible. And we can produce things that are way beyond what anyone in their natural self can do. When we replace worry, God fills it with inspiration and life. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do. He's saying, don't worry. Like, it's not ignore it. He's not saying don't care about it. He's saying don't worry. Don't be consumed with worry. Jesus wants to show us that God is the master of all these things. And so when we do it with him and not in our own strength, then it all makes sense and it all fits together. And so then I kind of got to the mustard tree in my midnight thinking. And I said, okay, so what's the tree about then? The tree is an image of the kingdom of God. You know, it says in Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. You know, each prayer that we pray, when we transfer from worry and acknowledge God, that first prayer is a seed. It might only be small. Like, it might be fairly feeble, but it's a seed. And each time we take hold of that and acknowledge God and bring him into our world in every single thing, from when we wake up to when we go to sleep, when we just kind of you know, it's like what Jeff was talking about last week with the prayers on the fingers. You know, just that, just fleeting. Bring God into this. Like, wake up. First thought, before you even open your eyes, thank you, God, for another day. Immediately, he's there. Like, immediately, he's brought into that space. Get out of bed and it's jolly cold. But it's okay. Thank you, God, we have hot water. You know, there's so many silly little things that we think are irrelevant. But it's okay. Just open up a conversation with God throughout the day and bring him into it. Because then when those little bits of worry, when those come in, when that little, that twist in the gut that starts churning, because I just can't do it, I can't work it out, I don't know what to do. When we've spent the morning with the irrelevant funny things, talking to God, it's much easier to then transfer the worry bits and to just kind of flick those over to him too and start bringing him into that situation. And like each time that we do that, we're adding another, a branch, a root, a leaf, you know, that tree is, it's growing. Because see, what's happening is that you're transforming in the middle of that. And you're actually becoming that tree in the kingdom of heaven. Because it's in you, a person that is confident in God, a person that is alive and full of life, a person that, you know, just finds creative solutions and comes up with ridiculous ideas that other people start coming to. And they start feeling safe around you because you've got a part of God that makes them feel okay, that makes them feel loved and accepted, and makes them feel that just maybe something can shift in my world too. And maybe I can start changing. Like, we become that tree. We become that representation of the kingdom of God on earth. And we start being for other people what God wants us to be. I think that's how we live a worry-free life. It's not saying that things aren't going to go wrong. There's going to be plenty of problems in our world. There's going to be plenty of confusing things. But Jesus says we don't actually have to carry the worry part of it. That's the bit that kills us. That's the bit that draws us down. And that's the bit that stifles us. And that's not what he wants for us. That's not what he intended. He intended us to be people of creativity and life and ideas and freedom and ability to be, you know, throw that out to other people and to be generous. You know, like Brad was talking that you know, breaking through those barriers of, oh, okay, that's probably not what I expected, God, but I'm just going to go with it because I'm with you on this journey. And you just have no idea how that's going to impact other people around you, but also what it does for you. I think, you know, those verses, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That is God's solution for our life. God's solution for walking this journey with us. And right at this time right now, I really felt like it was important that we started time just planting some mustard seeds. And I just want you to close your eyes and just think of something in your world that causes you worry. Like, everyone's got something. And it might not be big. it might just be, you know, something little. But what I'd really love you to do is just take hold of that worry and then just find how to acknowledge God in it. What do you know about God? If it's to do with provision, then we know that God is a provider. Old Testament called him Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He showed that throughout the Bible again and again. And so if there's provision worry in our world, then we acknowledge, God, you are my provider. You are the provider. Grab hold of that. Acknowledge who he is. Step into that space. Word that how you want to. You know, if there's things to do with, if you need to be creative, he is a God of the creative, the ultimate creator. Needing to find different ways of doing something in your world, then he can do that. The creative comes not only in the arts and those sorts of things, that it comes into business, it comes into study, it kind of cuts through every part of life. If there's family, you know, there's something in your family, and you know, God is our father. He understands family. You know, his family causes him lots of stress. But he loves us. So, you know, grab hold of your worry about family and acknowledge God in it. Say, thank you, God, that you are a father, that you know these things. Give me that wisdom that I need. In that time. And you know, while you're thinking about that, you know, it may be that you've not actually started following Jesus in the first place yet. You know, I said we were planting mustard seeds, but so many people here are already growing their trees. They planted their mustard seed years ago. Tree is growing, they're just adding leaves. But you know, today there may be someone here that prays like that for the first time ever, that they acknowledge God as God, as creator, for the first time. And that's where we start in following Jesus. It's just by acknowledging God first, and then seeing his son who he sent to earth for us to show us how to do this life, to change the way we view things, to release us into freedom. And Jesus came to do that, and he spoke of that in all these gospels we're reading, in Matthew, Mark and Luke and John. In these books we see the way God, Jesus did life, and we're wanting to follow that and copy that. But ultimately, the only way we can do that is by believing that he's the Son of God, and that he died on the cross and he rose again to save us. And this morning, if you're kind of getting that for the first time, and that you want follow Jesus, start planting a seed. I just want to pray this prayer, and you can join me, and then I'd love to know if you've prayed this. It goes, dear God, I want to follow Jesus. I ask you to come and show me how to do life. I'm sorry that I've been doing life on my own. Make me your child and help me follow you. Thank you, God, for loving me. Amen. I do think a worry-free life is possible. It starts by following Jesus, getting to know him, and then in every part of our world, acknowledging God and letting him into our situations. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you that you can take something so simple and bring life to us. Thank you that you can help us to just connect with you day after day, hour after hour, that there's little bits and pieces that we can acknowledge you. And thank you, Lord, that you promise in your Proverbs, Lord, that in whenever we acknowledge you, that you will make our paths straight, that you will walk beside us. Thank you that we can live life free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.